Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and today is June 3rd, and it's 2012. I've gone back to 1912. Anyway, welcome to our show, the Straight Wives Talk Show, which is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men or men who identify themselves as bisexual or transsexual or transgendered or asexual or anything that's also heterosexual. And each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you would like to call into our show, if you have any comments that you'd like to bring up tonight, Misty and I are always happy to hear from you. And I'll give you our call-in number for our guest. It's area code 646-716-4893. And I'll give you that number again. It's area code 646-716-4893. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's the weather in Kentucky?
It's wonderful. We've had some really cool weather, so that's wonderful. And it's starting to warm back up, but it's much cooler than what South Florida is, so there's no complaints from me. I'm enjoying every moment.
You know how hot it is in Florida right now?
It's very hot.
I mean, have you heard anything? Or?
Yeah, it's always in the 80s and 90s. I mean, it goes from hot to hotter. It's two temperatures, hot and hotter in summer. That's it. We don't even go by degrees, hot and hotter. And then it can be hot and hotter with humidity, so that goes up too. So that cranks it up a few notches.
I know. I always admire the fact that people can live there because it's somewhere that I could never live. You know,
yeah.
It's hard enough for me to go and visit there, and especially in the summer, I have to move from one air conditioner to the next. So I think they say that when you live in hot weather, then your blood, you know, thins out, so it's easier.
Yeah, I love Florida. I do have a love for Florida. I truly do. But it's hot in the summer, that's for sure.
Is living a lot different in Mississippi than it is in Florida? Mississippi, in Kentucky.
Get your states right, Bonnie. Absolutely. Kentucky is it's very different. Kentucky is, I consider, part of the South. Florida is the southern part of the United States, but not southern culturally. I wouldn't consider it southern culturally. Lots of more diversity probably in South Florida. You know, you have so many different nationalities represented from all over the world, not just different states, but from all over the world. I mean, you've got a lot of Cubans, a lot of Mexicans. You've got a lot of people from that represent, a lot of Jewish. You have a lot of people from Israel. You have a lot of people from Britain, a lot of people from Canada. So it's got a wonderful mix of different people. I like the experience of living in a mix of a lot of different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is, I love that. excuse me. In Eastern Kentucky, you don't have that as much. Now, in Central Kentucky, a lot of people I know find this hard to believe. I'm in Lexington. Central Kentucky, Lexington area is pretty multicultural. I mean, there's universities here. There's a lot of colleges here, so it brings in a lot of different people and lots of different nationalities, too. But now, South Florida is very different from Eastern Kentucky, but probably not so different from Central Kentucky. So
Kentucky is being
gay-friendly? Lexington is very, very, very gay-friendly. I would say much more gay-friendly than where I am in Florida. Now, the farther south you go in Florida, it can be more gay-friendly, you know, like the South Beach area, Miami area. But now Lexington, at one point in time, I do not know if this is still true, but at one point in time, probably 10 to 12 years ago, it was one of the highest per capita for places in the United States for gay population. So Lexington is very gay friendly, and a lot of people do not believe that, but it's very true. So
outside of Lexington?
Outside of Lexington, I'm not for sure. I think it's, Cincinnati borders
Kentucky, part of Cincinnati, which will be Covington, is in, on the Kentucky side of, basically the Kentucky side of Cincinnati. It's pretty gay-friendly, to my knowledge. Louisville is pretty gay-friendly. Now, when you get away from some of the larger towns, I think you're going to run into some problems. I think Eastern Kentucky is, you know, you've got some strong Bible Belt. I don't think it's going to be as gay-friendly in Eastern Kentucky where I grew up. So it would be, I would think you're going to find more people living in the closets and in the shadows that are gay. Would not be as accepting. But here, you know, you can go to a lot of, you'll find a lot of gay-friendly churches. You'll find a lot of gay-friendly activities in town, festivals and things like that. This is a, Lexington's a very gay-friendly town.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that because I would think in the South, you know, it's not quite nearly as gay-friendly as, you know, I'd like to think.
Maybe that's not true. Mm-hmm. There's even, like, a church here. I don't know if they still have it because, you know, I've not been here in a while. Lived mostly in Florida for the past few years. There used to be a church here that actually had a gay prom for some of the children. So that identified as, you know, gay or lesbian or bisexual. I don't know if that still happens. But, I mean, Lexington's a very, pretty progressive little town.
Yes, and I guess around other parts of the South, you know, when we had Dr. Brian Hooper here, who will be with us in the next few weeks, you know, he's in the South, and he's open about his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there are other clusters I know that are, you know, in Texas, certain parts in, you know, Austin, you know, where people are, you know, there's clusters and groups of, you know, gay communities. But
right.
I think it still has to be really difficult. And, you know, I don't know if that will ever change because of the whole Bible situation. And that leads me to, you know, bring this to a new point in the discussion. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. I was in New York the other day, and I saw our wonderful, some of our wonderful, wonderful women from our New York area. We had a really great time, and we'll be meeting again in September, on September 1st. So if anybody's listening who's in the New York area and you would like to join us, we're going to have a really nice group that weekend, and we'll have a really nice dinner in the city for a few hours so that we can meet each, you know, other women and give support. So it was a really wonderful get-together. And earlier, I met a friend of mine who is gay, and, you know, he's Jewish. And he comes from a religious community, and it was very interesting because, you know, he kind of left the community in the sense that he has a boyfriend, which is, you know, not allowed in a religious Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
And boyfriend, in fact, who is a minority, is not Jewish. You know, he's from a minority population, which makes it, you know, in the religious community really double trouble.
Right.
And, you know, so he said that a lot of times where people would invite him to different kinds of events, you know, that they don't invite him any longer because, you know, if they find out that he's gay, that's unwelcome in that community. And, of course, you know, it made me start thinking about a movie that I had seen a couple of years ago, and it was called Trembling Before God. It's a documentary, and it's free online. If anybody be interested in watching it, you know, all you have to do is send me a note at bonk@aol.com. And it's a Jewish documentary. And it talks about very religious Jewish people because a lot of people are not familiar with the different, you know, different kinds of divisions within Judaism. But there are people who are what they call very Orthodox. They're kind of like the fundamentalists and Christians. But then
mm-hmm.
there are people who are what they call Reform Jews who are much more open and liberal. And there's conservative Jews, which also, you know, they're very much more liberal than the Orthodox, but even within Orthodoxy, and those are the ones who are more like fundamentalists, there's extreme, more extreme and extremist, I guess, you know, as far as, you know, how religious people are. And this movie, Trembling Before God, was really made about religious, you know, Jewish people. And I think it came out about 10 years ago. And it shows how Orthodox Judaism, the battles they fight with homosexuality, much like fundamental Christianity, that when people are brought up within the Jewish community, homosexuality is definitely not allowed. it's not even considered allowable, and you better not be that way, otherwise you're going to be, like, excommunicated from the Jewish community. You won't be able to attend any of their functions, or, you know, even the family kind of cuts you off. And this is strictly out of, you know, fundamentalist religion, which I think it's pretty much the same no matter what religion, whether it's Judaism and Christianity. I know we talk a lot about Christianity on this show, but people need to be aware that it's within Islam, it's within Judaism. Any kind of fundamentalist religion is against homosexuality. So I was telling that to a friend of mine. I was sharing this movie with him. You know, he lives in the South, in fact, and he's not Jewish, and I told him he's a gay man who's a friend of mine. I told him to, like him to see the movie, which he had seen, and then he said he had heard that in Israel, because, you know, some of this movie was taken from Israel, that gay people are allowed to serve in the military and have been allowed to serve in there. So I thought that was interesting. I was really going to look up more about that because I didn't know exactly where things stood today. So when I was looking that up, Misty, I found some very interesting facts about gays in the military around the world in sexual orientation. And I found this on Wikipedia where it says the military forces of the world have differing approaches to the enlistment of homosexual, gay, and lesbian, and bisexual individuals. The armed forces of most developed countries have now removed policies excluding non-heterosexual individuals with strict policies on sexual harassment. Nations that permit gay people to serve openly in the military include four of the five members of the UN Security Council, and that's the United States, United Kingdom, France, and Russia. And it says that the Republic of China, Australia, Israel, Argentina, and all NATO members excluding Turkey. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And, you know, just to go down some of these countries, you know, and I'll ask you what you think, whether they would, you know, allow it or not. All right?
Okay.
So you ready, Misty?
I'm ready.
Okay. What about Albania? What would you think?
I would think no.
You think no?
Uh-huh.
Yep, they've been allowed to serve in the Army since 2008.
Wow. 20.
I know, I was really surprised to hear that also. Just for the record, in case you're listening, Misty and I are very pro-gay in the military, right, Misty?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think anyone should be denied a right to pursue their interest due to that. Because, I mean, how someone's going to perform in the military should not be deterred, you know, should not, their sexuality shouldn't have to be on a form. I mean, you know, my sexuality as being straight is not going to have to be on a form. You know, I've never understood that concept, the correlation of that concept. I never have.
Me either. But, you know, Misty and I are very pro-gay, so we just want to, you know, once again, we're not pro-gay men marrying women, but we are very pro-gay. So we feel it's wonderful if people can serve in the military as equals. How about Argentina? What do you think?
I would think yes.
Yes, as of 2009, Argentine government officially ended its ban on gays in the military forces, which, you know, I thought it would have been sooner than that, but it wasn't. But I think maybe some of the, you know, Latino cultures, it maybe takes a longer time.
Mm-hmm.
How about Australia?
I would think yes.
Yes, since 1992.
Wow, good for them.
I know, they've been open to it a long time. I think Australia is very liberal in certain ways that other, you know, countries and continents aren't. How about Austria?
I would say yes.
Yep, it says Austria permits homosexuals to serve openly. How about the Bahamas?
I would say no.
It says the Royal Bahamas Defense Force does not discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation. And
wow.
Made that announcement in 1998.
Wow, that's impressive because I've got some friends from that area. And it's very, a lot of gay bashing goes on in that area. I mean, even like in some of the areas, even if you're gay, they're afraid to tell, you know, you really don't let friends and family know. Because,
yes.
I mean, sometimes they're afraid. Or, I mean, very close friends and family that you know that won't say anything because sometimes, I mean, people will even kill you. I mean, it's just, wow. And that's not been too long ago I've heard that. It's just been a few years ago I've heard that, those horrible stories.
Okay, well, it's good to know that at least they're allowed in the service. How about Belgium?
Belgium, I would say yes.
Okay, it says, Belgium permits homosexuals to serve openly. In Belgium, the military accepts gay and men and lesbians into service. However, if the behavior of an individual who is gay or lesbian causes problems, that individual is subject to discipline or discharge. In some cases, homosexual personnel have been transferred from their unit if they have been too open with their sexuality. The Belgian military also continues to reserve the right to deny gay and lesbian personnel high-level security clearances for fear they may be susceptible to blackmail. Now, that's not the only country I've heard that about, you know, that they're fearing blackmail. In fact, when we had Dolly on our show, you know, and I love Dolly comes on our show, and, you know, she has such a compelling story about her husband who was in the Air Force. You know, she wrote that up for Straight Wise Shattered Lives Part 2. She tells that whole story. And in there, you know, she does mention about her husband when all of this was coming out, and she talked to his commander, and he said, well, do people know that he's gay? Because, you know, he was a high level, some position in the armed forces, and they didn't want to have this used as blackmail. So I guess, you know, that is a real concern, if people can be blackmailed. But, you know, that just kind of coincides with that. How about Brazil? What do you think?
Wow. I'm going to say no.
It says there is no law forbidding lesbians and gays and bisexuals and transgenders from serving. In the Brazilian Armed Forces, sexual orientation and gender identity cannot be an obstacle for entry into the police force or the military in Brazil. And transgendered men, including transvestites, should make conscription as any Brazilian male citizen. All sexual acts are disallowed between members of the forces, whether they're heterosexual or homosexual. So, yep, they're allowed. How about Canada?
Yes.
Okay, they've been allowed to serve since 1992. How about...
Same as Australia.
Mm-hmm. How about the Republic of China?
Wow, I'm going to say no.
Well, here it says the Republic of China, which is Taiwan, repealed their ban on conscripting gay people into the military in 2002. Following an announcement by the Republic of China Armed Forces that it would end the policy banning gays from guarding high-level officials and government installations, scholars and military officers said the decision signaled a bold step for the Asian military force. The policy change was announced after a local newspaper revealed the discriminatory practice, prompting protest demonstrations in Taipei, the nation's capital. Colonel Liu of ROC Naval Attachment said that ending the ban on gays in the military was a good thing for a democratic society like ours. I don't think this is really a big deal. It just means Taiwanese society is more open and there are different choices now. If you're gay and you can do the job, that's fine. So that was for the Republic of China.
Okay.
So that was good. How about Colombia?
Well, I'm going to go with yes because the rest of the... rest of the countries have yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, they went along with it in 1999.
Okay.
So that's when gays were able to serve there. How about the Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic?
I'll say yes.
Yes, I'm surprised, but the answer to that is yes. What about Denmark?
Yes.
Because Denmark allows homosexuals to serve openly. In fact, homosexuals have never been banned from serving in the Danish armed forces. Never. So I think that's great.
Uh-huh.
Estonia?
Wow. I'm going to say yes.
You're right. I would have thought no, but they are allowed to serve. about Finland?
Yes.
Here it says, Finland allows gay people to serve openly. However, conscripts, when requests, so can be moved to a service class B on the basis of homosexuality, often shortening service time to disqualification from leadership training. So mm-hmm. that doesn't sound like 100% yes to me. About France?
Yes.
Yep, France definitely does. And Germany?
Yes.
Absolutely, Germany accepts gay people in the service. How about Greece?
Yes.
Yes, Greece also. How about Ireland?
Yes.
That's a yes for Ireland as well, so that's good. Let's go to the next country. How about Israel? We already said Israel, yes. Here it says, Israel Defense Forces policies allow gay men and lesbians to serve openly and without discrimination or harassment due to actual or perceived sexual orientation. This was put into effect in 1993 after an Israeli Defense Reserve officer testified before the Knesset, which is like their form of government, claiming that his rank had been revoked and that he had been barred from researching sensitive topics in military intelligence solely because of his sexual identity. So now, you know, at this point, gays serve openly without any discrimination there. How about Italy? What do you think?
I think yes.
You're right. Italy also. How about Japan?
I would think yes.
You're right. Japan says yes also. How about Lithuania?
I'm going to say yes.
That's a yes, too, even though I would think it would have been a no. About Luxembourg?
Yes.
Luxembourg is also a yes. How about Netherlands?
Yes.
Yes, it says they were one of the first countries to ban discrimination against gays in the military. New Zealand?
Yes.
Since 1993. About Norway?
Yes.
Norway, yes, since 1979. And how about Peru?
I would think yes.
The answer for there is yes, and that changed as in 2009, so it hasn't been long.
It's fairly recent.
Mm-hmm. How about the Philippines?
I'm going to say yes. But they're still quite reserved there from some of the women and people I've talked to from that area.
Right. And actually, they can serve in the military. The ban ended, but only as of 2010.
Okay.
And how about Poland?
I would say yes.
Yes. Now, gay people can serve in the military there. How about Romania?
I would think yes.
Okay, that's correct. Russia?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, only as of 2003. And so before 1993, homosexual acts between consenting males were against the law in Russia. Did you know that? And homosexuality was considered a mental disorder until 1999. But even after that, military medical expertise statute was enforced to continue considering homosexuality a mental disorder, which was a reason to deny homosexuals to serve in the military. In 2003, a new military medical expertise statute was adopted, and it said people who have problems with their identity and sexual preferences can only be drafted during times of war. What do you think of that?
Wow, that's interesting.
And here it says this clause contradicted another clause of the same statute, but it changed in 2003. So as of 2003, they can serve in the military. How about Serbia?
I'm going to say yes.
As of 2010, they said yes.
Wow, that's very recent.
Mm-hmm. How about South Africa?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, it was okayed in 1997.
Wow.
Okay, how about Spain?
Spain, yes.
Yes, as of 2009, so it wasn't that long ago.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, I thought that would be long ago. How about Sweden?
Yes.
Definite yes. Switzerland?
Yes.
How about Thailand?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, they lifted their ban in 2005. And let's see if there's any other countries. No, that was pretty much it. So it looks pretty much like this is like a given thing now. They didn't say any of the countries are really banning gays in the military. Let me just double check. No, it looks pretty much like everybody's saying yes.
You know, I do wonder if there are loopholes in some of these, you know, to where that people are blocked.
I think that you can make – I'm really surprised, quite frankly, Misty, that a lot of these countries, especially in Eastern Europe, that were so gay-unfriendly so many years ago – not that many years ago, in my lifetime, you know, they were really looking at gay as a mental illness, that now that, you know, their views have changed. So I guess if you have to look for progress, there's definitely been progress certainly made with the gay situation in my lifetime. You know, it has a long way to go.
Yes.
You know, I won't live to see it to where it needs to be because that'll be long after I'm gone. But I think it's good that at least if you can look back 30 years or 20 years, or even in some of these cases 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and how the policies have changed in countries that are not traditionally very liberal in their thinking. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, it's definitely heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely heading in the right direction. You know, if I were gay, would it be fast enough? I don't know. Probably not, but it's definitely heading in the right direction.
You know what? I don't think that if you're gay, expecting things that are going to change in your lifetime is really necessarily realistic, because even though it's changed in so many ways, I'm not saying no, I'm not saying it's not even gotten better. And some of the churches, more like the, you know, some of the Protestant churches are a little more welcoming to gay people. But there are still so many places where people are ignorant and they have ignorant things to say. And this is passed on from generation to generation. So it's really kind of scary to think that some of these things are going to take so long to change if they ever change, which I don't know if they will. And as long as they don't, as long as gay people have to feel discriminated against, they're going to try to keep not being gay. And, you know, in this month ahead, we're going to have some really, you know, interesting speakers and people on our program. And, you know, one of the issues for June, I always like to make June a month about the men. And I know some women get annoyed at me, but I really believe that, you know, I spend almost 11 months, you know, being an advocate for all of our women who are going through this. But it's important to understand what men feel also while they're going through it. And I'm not trying to defend them. I'm not trying to, you know, take sides with them. But women need to understand, you know, what their husbands are suffering or going through in many cases. I'm not going to say in all cases.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that so many times our women say to us, well, they've been cheating on me all these years. What do you mean they didn't know they were gay? And some of the stories that I'll be having coming out in my June newsletter are so compelling. You know, I have a whole group of different men who have written for that particular issue. And some of their stories are quite, you know, frankly, very moving. Some of them, you know, I'm not defending them all, you know, but I felt like women need to see a full spectrum of different kinds of stories. And, you know, this is something that we really have to kind of understand better in order for us to make more progress with our own life, which is my main concern. But I will tell you that some of these men truly do suffer very greatly, and my heart really does go out to them. I just can't imagine having to lead a life that wasn't mine every day of my life and having to keep pretending that I'm somebody that I'm not, or trying to make myself change just so I can fit into a society or being brought up, like we were talking about religion, how they make it that it's dirty, that it's, you know, something you'll get disowned, your whole family, your church will disown you, this is the way it is. I mean, that has to be difficult. Now, you're a Christian, Misty. You know, maybe give a little insight into how the Christians would see this when they find out somebody's gay.
Well, it depends. There's, just as you described in the Jewish world, there's different sects of Christianity, and you're going to have the extreme, and you're
right.
going to have the more liberal. You know, it's going to be in the extreme, gay people would not be welcome in a church. I mean, quite frankly, they would not be even welcome to enter the door, which is sad. But in many of the ones that are more open, absolutely. I mean, it's not, you're seeing more and more of that. You're seeing more and more of people being able to go to places of worship where they choose in the Christian world. And I think that's wonderful, anyone getting to, you know, that's something this country was founded upon, was freedom of worship, you know, and I think that's something that anyone should have the right to do, their choice, and it shouldn't be determined on sexual preference. So anyway, you've got the different, you know, areas of religion and Christianity that, you know, in the extremes, they're not going to be welcome there. And the other ones, yeah, absolutely they're welcome there. Even some of the Christian churches are, you know, offering, like, you know, some of the ceremonies to same-sex marriages. You know, they're having open arms to same-sex couples. Some absolutely are not offering that. Some are letting them come and sort of just not really talking about it. So, you know, you're seeing all kinds of different things happen in the Christian world in terms of people going to worship. So, you know, it's just so many different, you know, it's almost an individual church thing, you know. It's almost unique to which church you go to, what you're going to see, because each church is going to have its own almost set of standards, because they're going to have their own deacons that help run the church and things of that nature. So they're going to have their own set of rules and standards. So each church is going to be, you know, they may be affiliated with a Church of Christ or Catholic or Mormon or the Baptist, you know, all these different areas that consider themselves Christianity. You know, they may be affiliated with all these different churches.
I don't know enough about Christianity, you know, so I don't know which churches are for and which are against. I mean, I know there are definitely some churches that are really, you know, welcoming to gay people, other ones that totally condemn them. But I say the same thing to anybody who's religious, no matter what your religion is. Because now I think that, you know, you and I always go through the whole thought that people don't have a choice in being gay, that, you know, they're born differently. And I think I see more acknowledgement of this. So now religions aren't necessarily acknowledging that people have a choice in being gay. They more likely say that they have a choice of acting on being gay. You know, they're like kind of acknowledging that, yeah, maybe you are born different, but that doesn't mean you have to act on it. You have to use will and you have to use resistance in order to stay away from it. You know, you can't be weak. You know, you don't want to do an abomination to God by doing what he doesn't want. So, yes, the temptation's there, the forces of temptation are there, but that doesn't mean you have to act on it. So I think that's a strategy that some religions are taking to acknowledge that, okay, maybe you don't make a choice like this. But if you are born with that little quirk, it doesn't mean you have to act on it. So do you think that's, you know, something you see happening there in the Christian world, Misty?
So I think what? I didn't hear that question.
I think that's the thoughts that are, you know, coming out more now rather than, oh, you make a choice in being gay. Now it's
Here's
okay, you were born
say.
Gay, but a choice not to
I'm
act gonna, on it.
I'm going to say this, and I know there's going to be a lot of gay people out there cringe when I say this. I'm going to say I think that's at least a little bit of progress.
Yeah.
Is it fair? No, I'm not going to say it's fair, but I think it might be some progress in the right direction. Because, I mean, you're talking years ago that they would, you know, diagnose this person or send them into such a shame or,
excommunicate them from the church and have families to do the same thing, not to even speak to this person because they're so hell-bound and they're of the devil. So, I mean, you know.
That's true. It wasn't that many years ago that they were doing exorcisms on gay people, right?
Exactly. That's been in my lifetime. This hasn't been 20, 30 years ago. Right. So, I mean, is it fair? I'm not saying it's fair. Is it progress? Yeah, maybe tiny, but it is some progress for some of these churches. That goes back to what I said earlier. You know, there has been some progress, but is it moving fast enough if you're gay? Probably not, you know. But I think some things are heading in the right direction. And I can't imagine, you know, wanting to go, you know, being brought up with my Christian roots and not being able to worship when I choose to. I just can't imagine that. And, you know, my heart really goes out to that. I really can't imagine that. That's just where I really get stuck and just think, wow, you know. And I go back to think, wow, that's why, you know, we left the motherland and we came here to start this great country on things of such as that so we could have freedoms. So, you know, I don't know, Bonnie. I think we are headed in the right direction. I think there's a lot of areas we've got a lot of room for improvement. And I think, but the good thing is there's a lot of churches out there, a lot of wonderful Christian churches that have open arms for same-sex couples. That, you know, will accommodate them, and not only accommodate them, that embrace their activity in the church, that will embrace their attending church. So, you know, it may not be the church they grew up in. It may not be a church that their family goes to. But, you know, I mean, it feels good when you're welcome somewhere. So, I mean, are you going to find it in smaller towns? Probably not. But, you know, if you live in a larger town, you're probably going to find that. I mean, you can certainly find that in the town I live in Lexington, Kentucky. You can find that at several of the churches. So, you know, the good thing is you can find that in a lot of the Christian churches. And, you know, quite frankly, you can't find it in a lot of them, too. But I think it's heading in the right direction. And, it's about the best answer I can give. Because even some of the same churches, even though they may be Baptist, you're going to have one extreme to another extreme because there's going to be many different almost denominations within that Baptist church. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, not church, but within that, you know, the title of Baptist, there's going to be many different, it's almost like on a continuum. There's going to be some on the extreme and some on the more conservative. So I know some Baptists are very welcoming to that. I know some that, you know, you really wouldn't want to go around. That's not their belief system. So, you know, you're going to find it's really...
I just feel like I don't understand why people would think... I mean, I like the fact that they're not making it now a mental illness, and I like the fact that they're kind of acknowledging that people are born this way. But here's what I don't understand. Like, why do people who are religious feel... that, okay, you were born this way, and you can't help it, you know, as far as how you were born, and you have these feelings and these urges, but if you truly are a good God-fearing person, you don't have to act on those urges. You know, you have to show God that you're strong enough to refrain from them. I mean, I've seen a lot of people, you know, go through this in this kind of thinking. But why would God, I don't understand, purposely pick out some people to make them, you know, suffer like this with this need to be something that they're not? I mean, like, what is the purpose of that?
I wish I could answer that for you. I can't. I can't wrap my head around that.
And how
really
do you decide who's going to get that kind of punishment?
Right.
They have to live their whole life living a life that's not theirs to start with.
Right.
I mean,
I can't imagine.
Doesn't sound quite right.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine putting myself in those shoes and being told that I could never be with someone and couldn't fall in love with someone. And the chances of me having a partner, you know, a companion for the rest of my life are zero. I can't really wrap my head around that. I really can't.
And once again, I know that it's very difficult for parents when they find out that their children are gay. And,
right.
You know, it really just knocks them through a loop. I mean, there's no way that any parent I know who's told that he or she has a gay child is happy about it. And it has nothing to do with feelings towards being homosexual.
I mean,
some of the people who find this news out are the most liberal of all people. But that doesn't mean that you want your
parents that are shocked. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what are some of the reasons why you think people are so shocked and upset when they find that out, Misty?
Well, I've worked with several very liberal parents that have very many gay, lesbian friends around, you know, their circle of friends, and then they find out that their daughter or son is gay or lesbian, and they go almost into a panic mode. And I think that's for a lot of reasons. Well, you got to look at it like this. Number one, due to having many gay, lesbian friends around, they know some of the hardships those people have gone through. You don't want that for your child. You don't want your child to be discriminated against. I mean, you know, that's, you know, even though we are in the great 2012, there still is discrimination. If we said there wasn't, we would be lying. You just don't want that for your child. Number two, you automatically think, I think when you have a child, that your child's going to grow up, going to get married, and you're going to have possibly grandchildren, you're going to pass on the legacy, going to pass on the family genes, all those things. And chances are, unless you go through adoption or you go through, you know, that's getting a little bit better now because you can do adoption and some other types of, you know, surrogacy parenting and things like that. But, you know, it's difficult, you know, to go through that. But, you know, you want to pass that, you know, those family things on, those family traits, characteristics, stories, you know, just the legacy, the whole things that build up on the legacy. So, you know, you automatically see that as not happening. So there's lots of things, and especially the one when I work with parents, the one that they come at time and time after again is they just don't want to see their child to go through so many hardships. They don't want to see their child being bullied. A lot of times these children are bullied, which is really sad. A lot of times these children are picked on. They don't want their child to have to live in the closet, so to speak, and just be out to a few people. They want their child to be who they truly are. And it's difficult as a parent, even if you are very liberal and open-minded, it's difficult to come to terms with that. So, you know, I work with parents, you know, don't feel guilty over that. You know, express those difficulties in the appropriate place, not necessarily with the child. Work through it with a professional first, and then, you know, work through it with your child. Because most of it boils down to the parent doesn't want difficulties and hardships for their child because they want the child to have absolutely the best life. And most parents want their children to have an even better life than they've had. And unfortunately, if they've got a lot of gay friends, lesbian friends, they have, like I said earlier, they've heard those stories of hardships, you know, some doors being closed because of their sexuality, friends and family shutting the doors on them because of their sexuality, just different opportunities maybe not being there because of discrimination. So it's like I had a dear friend tell me one time. He said, "Do you think if I could choose my sexuality, I would choose the hardship of being gay?" And I think that sums a lot of it up, and I think the parent feels that too. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. I thought, oh, no, I'm talking to myself. No.
Okay, so I was saying that. I think in some cases, you know, there's truly there some, you know, anti-gay feelings on behalf of a few, you know, some portion of the parents that they don't want their children to be gay because, you know, they have certain prejudices against gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is because they've been brought up a certain way with certain cultural beliefs. Like, I would think that when I look at, you know, films where in the Muslim culture, that this is, like, totally not allowable. I mean, it's not an option. You know, if you're gay, you get killed. So, you know, naturally, if you find out that your child is gay, I think that when you're brought up that it's evil, it's bad, You know, I think a lot of times it has to do with your cultural beliefs and what they are. I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, I mean, I think safety is. I think that goes to. I guess that can be summed up in, you know, like some safety factors. You know, depending on where you're at in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, that determines a lot. That determines a lot in terms of straight wives as well. You know, whether or not you can even get a divorce, or whether or not you can even say that, because, you know, in some countries, women we've worked with, absolutely they cannot get a divorce because they will be blamed for making their husband gay and possibly, who knows what would happen to them. So, you know, there's all, you know, you've got to be mindful of everything.
It's like there was an article in the news services a few months, 2 months ago, and it says Chinese gay wives face legal limbo and cultural bias. And it says in the 8 years since Tian Li told his parents he was gay, they've put relentless pressure on him to act straight and get married. My parents pushed me to deceive a girl into marrying me, said Tian Li, a 28-year-old company manager in the southern Chinese province of Yunnan, using a nickname. They just want a grandson to save face in front of others and don't care how she would suffer. I would rather die than do it. But in China, a great many men give in to the pressure. It is estimated that 10 million Chinese women are married to gay men, according to a retired Quinduc University professor, often trapping wives in unhappy unions that they can't easily leave due to Chinese law and social stigma. Zhang estimates that 80 to 90% of gay men in China intend to marry or have married, citing a survey of more than 1,500 Chinese gay men. Such marital arrangements occur in many societies, especially where traditional customs prevail, but China's Confucian tradition, coupled with its one-child policy, have increased pressure on gays to conform to heterosexual norms. Having no progeny is considered the traditional Chinese culture and the worst kind of conduct, said Zhang. And under China's one-child policy, the only son is under even greater pressure from his parents who want a grandson. For Fang Feng, a 46-year-old woman living in eastern China, her unwitting marriage to a gay man led her to a lifetime of misery. 26 years after she spent her wedding night alone, she finally came to realize that her husband was gay and she was a movie prop used to complete a straight man disguise. He took advantage of my naivety and weak personality, set up a string of traps, and lured me in, said Fang, who would not give her a real name to protect her privacy. Like many Chinese gays of his generation, Fang's husband, born in the late 1950s, found his sexual orientation humiliating and wanted to become a normal man by marrying a woman and, more importantly, having a child to carry his family name. Breaking free of such marriages is not easy in China. Divorce is rapidly rising, but is still considered shameful, especially for women. Chinese law is vague on the issue and offers little help to women who might have difficulty proving their husbands are in homosexual relationships and thus can't seek recourse in divorce. Homosexuality is never seriously discussed in China's legislatures. The government just wants to avoid talking about it, said a lawyer, surnamed Liu, who was previously married to a gay man. The Chinese government largely ignores homosexuals, but some social scientists say a lack of sex education in school contributes to the hostile social attitudes towards gay. Even when divorce is an option, the stigma of having been married to a gay man haunts many former wives. When I told guys that my ex-husband was gay, some of them immediately worried that I was an HIV carrier, since that's the image attached to gays in Chinese minds, said Zhao, the founder of the website named Gay Wives Family. After discovering in 2007 that her newly married husband was gay, Zhao launched a desperate search on the internet for information about women facing predicaments like her own, but her search proved futile. She divorced her husband several years after, following several incidents of domestic violence, and poured all of her savings into building and running the website where members seek help from each other, psychologists, and law professionals. Many of the website's younger and educated members are talking about seeking legal protections. But any legal reforms, while welcome, will come too late for those like Bang, who carries emotional scars. I respect gays as any other human beings and understand their pain, she said, still moved to tears after so many years. But I also want them to see how much pain that their wives suffer so that gay men won't rashly marry a woman anymore. And that was the article.
Wow.
So what do you think of that?
Very interesting. Very good perspective of just different cultures, what you run into and how unique different cultures are on the subject, and how you have to really, you as a therapist, I know you have to be very, very mindful of the culture norms that any person subscribes to. And I think that just reinforces that, how you have to, look into all angles of them.
I know, but that's why I tell women, here in America, we have choices. You know, even though you may feel stuck, you're not. You can walk away. I mean, women do it every day. The divorce rate here is over 50% on marriages that don't have homosexuality as a problem. You know, women walk away, they don't turn back, they keep moving, but in these marriages, we seem to just keep looking backwards and running in opposite directions, not even the right direction. So, I don't know. I just think that if you have a situation here, you can get out of it. You don't have to feel stuck like these women in China. They are really stuck, and they're not the only country where I hear from that people are stuck.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the, you know, Arab countries are stuck there. Also, in some of, you know, like I say, in the African countries and some of the South American countries, they're very strict there about gay.
India, several women from India.
Oh, India, get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
You know, those women are really very, very, you know, they suffer greatly. So everybody's suffering. I mean, here you have a gay man who can't be gay, so he's living in a marriage and he's frustrated and he's going to take it out on his wife. You know, it's just such a sad situation, and that's why I say life was never meant to be this complicated. This is not what life is about. I mean, you should be given a life, go enjoy yourself, work hard, have fun, but you don't have to deal with all these complicating issues that just will never change. It's not as if they have any chance of changing at all. What do you think about that? Do you agree with that, Miss Bay?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, we're going to, next week, like I say, talk with Patsy. And for women who are Christians, I think that this show is so important when we have Patsy on our show, Patsy Ray Dawson. Because Patsy is not like any other Christian counselor I've ever heard. Of course, I'm not Christian. What about you, Misty?
Yeah, I think she does a very good perspective on the Christian viewpoint for the women that we work with. I think she gives a very easy, understanding, straight to the point, and knows her scripture well to back it up. So I think, you know, for the Christian women out there, really set aside the time next week when she shows up to listen to this, because it can be very helpful, especially for the ones that are, you know, in such doubt, such, you know, questioning and bringing it in their Christian belief systems. She can really be helpful with that, very helpful.
And I still say that, you know, even though with women asking the question, like, why am I doing anything with the men? You know, our support network is for women. And that's true. Our support network is for women. But you can't get the support you need unless you have the men that you're living with come clean to you, and that's why I'm there to give them support to do that. I know that sometimes women get upset because maybe they just don't want to know the truth. And once their husbands have to deal with it, then something's going to have to change. But the reality is that nobody should have to live a life that's not authentic. And if you have two people living that kind of life, you know, there's something wrong with it. It's almost like the women who are on medication, and you know how I feel about that. When you're living with a gay husband, you know, and you have to take medication for it, and I mean, just think of that concept, that you have to take medication to cope in a marriage. It just makes me really upset and really angry. But, you know, a lot of women are doing this rather than just, you know, say, you know what, this marriage isn't going to work. Or I can't be married to a man who wants a man. You know, there's so many different factors here. So hopefully with Patsy, she's going to give you some good scriptures. And so that in case you're being held back because of, you know, from different scriptural references, if you're a Christian woman. And what was so interesting, Misty, is that when we had our Texas get-together back in March, and Patsy's one of my guest speakers, a few women said to me, well, I really wasn't looking forward to having, you know, a Christian, you know, counselor come and talk to us, you know, on a Christian level. Well, those women who said that, by the time that Patsy was done, I mean, they were just so enamored with her because she didn't fit the prototype of your usual Christian kind of counselor.
Exactly.
You know, she's somebody who talks about getting rid of men who are sexual duds in bed. And she's very outspoken, and she says what she means, and she really gives a great perspective. So Patsy will be with us here, you know, next week. And like I said, it'll be an interesting month all the way along. And Misty, did you have any other things that you wanted to bring up?
That's it. I think, no, nothing new. Just wishing everyone a healing journey on this discovery process. You know, it's never easy, but it's doable. It's very possible to survive and thrive from this. I mean, I think women lose sight of you know, how exciting it can be to start over sometimes, and don't lose sight of that. You know, it's not the end of the world. It really isn't. You know, it's the end of the world as you know it. Truly, yeah, I agree with that. It's very hard. It's very difficult. And, you know, I'm 12 years post-divorce. I know how difficult it is. But
right, because there's always a lot of residual scarring with it, right?
Absolutely. There's, you know, there's things that come up. There are things that come up. But life on this side is beautiful. It really is. It's wonderful. You know, it's so exciting to look back now and see the direction that my life has taken. You know, it's beyond.
I know. It doesn't feel like that when you're starting out, but
no,
you know, you're robbing yourself
of
possible good things
that
could come your way.
And
that's why I tell women,
scary.
You know, there's some kind of safety or comfort in not in knowing what you have and fear of the unknown. But in this case, trust me, that unknown is far better than anything you ever have, right?
Absolutely. I mean, my life has just taken such a, you know, it's just, I can't even begin to go on about how, you know, the great path it's taken. I really can't. I mean, I'm just, you know, so excited with, you know, what I do, where I am in my life. And it's, I never dreamed I would be this far. It really did. And I plan to go so much farther. And I'm very convinced, you know, once you get out of such misery and drudgery, your life expands at exponential speed. It really can. I mean, you get into that healing force, and it just, you know, you walk forward and just don't look back. And, you know, everyone's entitled to that beautiful, authentic life. And I'm very thankful that I have that. And let me tell you, I forget sometimes how scary it is, and that's why I want to bring it up. You know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, oh my goodness, I was so scared. You know, I was. I thought dancing with the devil I knew was better than not dancing with the devil I didn't know. You know, staying in the knowingness of chaoticness with my ex-husband, now ex-husband, and, you know, versus leaving and starting a new life. I can't imagine if I would have stayed, how horrible my life would have been. I just can't imagine. And my life has just taken such a different direction, all for the positive. There's been some downs, but you know, there's always some downs in life, no matter what. Maybe if you have the perfect partner mate, there's always, you know, there's always peaks and valleys. But I'll tell you one thing, it sure has been worth it. It's been wonderful. It sure has been worth it to, you know,
absolutely.
To start over and have that, you know, just the freshness of starting over. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Just the freedom of your own boss.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Misty, we're going to end our show tonight. We want to wish everybody a wonderful week. And I'll let you sign off first, Misty.
Good night and love to all.
And good night and love to all of you. And love to you, Misty.
Love to you, Bonnie. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll talk again next Sunday. Be sure to tune in next Sunday. We'll have Patsy as our guest. All right. Good night, everybody, and love to you.
Bye-bye.